The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.
It's official, I'm broke.
Yeah,
I've got no money left.
I'm bloody broke as well. This punting stuff's not as much fun at the moment.
What happened to old man Max that helped us out yesterday?
Bloody hell, Max. 29 from 30 now.
Yeah, it is. No, 25 from 30. 25. He nearly got us over the line. What did he get, second and fourth?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Hey, Roo, you make me laugh. So, Roo's car had a little sleepover last night, so I picked him up this morning bright and early on the way to work.
Mm.
I said, how'd you go last night, Roo? You feeling all right? He goes, yeah, I went home and watched Seabiscuit. Like, didn't get enough of the races all day. Did you have a bet on Seabiscuit or not?
It's not easy watching Seabiscuit half cut either, with one eye open on the couch.
If you had a back Seabiscuit, you would have won. Because it wins all the time, Seabiscuit.
I would have got on, but my account was empty. Crambit wouldn't
say. So you've watched 38 races from 10 different cities all day, and then, let's watch Seabiscuit.
I just couldn't get on. I knew it was going to win.
You know, there's a Farlap movie too. You can watch that one.
I'll wait. Do another night for that one. But it's a good movie, Seabiscuit.
Please.
But at 9:22, I remember looking at my clock, and I was sitting on the couch with a wife and mother and father-in-law, and I just wanted to start watching. I thought, shit, I need some sleep.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bed. I recorded it, so
I might
watch it tonight.
Yeah. Hey, Roo, today, you know, we're in the hunt for Adelaide's worst snorer or best snorer, whichever way you look at it.
Yeah, there'll be a few last night.
Yeah, we've had some good entries, so we'll get to that a little bit later on. Will Anderson will join us as well. We always have a laugh with Will.
Big Mal will join us as well. He would have been at the races yesterday, I'm sure. Big Mal, he would have had a bit of fun as well. So plenty happening.
Big show coming up here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
On this Wednesday morning, the day after the Cup, we're all nursing empty wallets, sore heads, a few bruises. Yeah, what's making news around the place, Roo?
It's going to be a new movie coming out in the not-too-distant future about Ned Kelly.
Really?
Russell Crowe is going to be in it, which I love a bit of Rusty Crowe when he plays his big macho, tough sort of... roles that he does.
Saw a photo of him this week. Gee, he's beefed up a bit.
Yeah, well, probably if he looked at us and if we had 50 million in the bank like he did, we'd probably...
Oh, you think it's the pot calling the kettle, do you?
I think we're a little bit in that little kettle, a little bit kettly, a little bit glasshousey at the moment.
Righto. Fair enough.
Throwing a few rocks.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But... oh, he'll trim up for his role. What is, Ned Kelly wouldn't have been too chubby, would he? Would a bush ranger would have been skinny, living off the land.
Yeah.
He'll get himself trim and taut for the for that role. But I'm looking forward to that. It'd be a cracking flick if they bend the truth a bit and make it pretty cool. So looking forward to that one, Dits.
Yeah. All right.
Australian movie.
All right. Your favourite newspaper today? What have they done?
The NT News always go first there when I'm looking for headlines for our show and. Their front page today has a massive picture of Lloyd Williams in his top hat and suit and thumb up in the air. And the headline is, Rich Dude Wins Cup Again, .. Multi-millionaire's sixth victory.
So they couldn't think of his name, just some rich dude.
Who is that bloke? Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a rich dude. Rich Dude Wins Cup Again. So he's won for the sixth time. And as Bruce McAvaney said yesterday, more than anyone else, getting a little bit repetitive that he goes and buys the best horses in the world and wins the Melbourne Cup.
Yep.
So, Rich Dude Wins Cup Again. Keep it simple.
Yeah. I reckon...
There's no crocodile on the front page today, Dits.
No?
No.
Okay. Hey, what about this story? A plane... Now, you know, you come across some cranky women sometimes, and cranky men too, but cranky women when a woman scorn, they call it. Imagine this, the turn that this lady must have put on. So they're flying high above India on a commercial plane, and this lady's going through her husband's phone and finds out that he's been having a little bit on the side, and she goes berserk. So much so.
Mid-air.
So much so, they had to land the plane. this woman's gone berserk.
Nowhere to hide there, Ditch.
No.
Can't go in the spare room.
No, everyone on the plane said, for God's sake, get this woman off the plane, will you? So they've landed. They've actually touched down in, unscheduled somewhere in India and said, right, get off.
Wow.
Yeah. Take it somewhere else, love.
Oh, no. That would have been horrible for all concerned. Everyone,
so.
No winners there at all.
Hey, just a sporting story. How's this Mitchell Starc? 2 hat-tricks in 1 game.
What?
Yeah. Like, and I heard Stephen Smith quoted this morning. He said, you know, some people, well, a lot of us, whatever level you've played, will never, ever take a hat-trick in your life.
Yeah.
He's taken 2 in 1 Shield game. It's
bloody
never been
hell.
Done before
he's
in a Shield
game.
He's
on fire, isn't he, at the moment? He looks dangerous.
So 2 hat-tricks. Amazing.
Well
done. Yeah.
Well done.
And he'll lead our attack against the Poms.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, the Ashes not too far away.
Dave Benson, caravan and camper trailers. Begin your voyage and live your dreams.
I only have time for one breakfast show.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, let's get him on. He would have been front and centre yesterday with all the big crowds at Flemington. Hello, Mr. Prime Minister.
Good morning to you, Dits, and hello to you, Roo. It actually turned out that I was in New England watching it on course with a beer in my hand.
Right.
New England.
No one had a baby handy because, of course, I am in the middle of a bar election up there in New England with Barnaby.
Mm.
So, yes,
where
I
is New England?
Wearing an Akubra trying to look Australian.
Where is New England?
Yeah, where is it?
Well, it's in the highlands of New South Wales.
Right.
Out to the northwest there.
Okay.
Did you have a bet yesterday? Are you allowed to have a punt?
Well,
when you're
of course
the,
I'm allowed to have a flutter. They call it the race that stops a nation. Well, it turns out that the race that stops a nation is New Zealand, since Barnaby got turfed out by the High Court. They are a race, aren't they? Or are they just a nationality? I wouldn't know. Yes, of course, I'll have a bit of a gamble. I mean, that's what I do on a daily basis, Roo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a gambler. I roll the dice. Most days at the moment it's coming up snake eyes. But I had a bit of an itchy palm yesterday, so I had a flutter on Johannes Vermeer.
Oh, did you?
And if I had taken an exotic with that and Labor to win the next election, I would have got good odds on a sure thing.
So you didn't have a win, Big Mal?
No, I didn't. I ran second, which I'm not used to.
No. Hey, just on something different. Now, your government has been threatened a little bit lately. Did you ever give any thought to, you know, if it all went pear-shaped, life after politics?
Oh, Dits.
Well, Dits, it's a very, very good question. I think about it all the time. Everybody needs an exit strategy.
Mm.
And as a matter of fact, Christopher Pine and I have discussed the idea of perhaps going into business together after politics and opening a bakery. Christopher's a terrific cook. He'd be out the back pumping the pies full of meat and his hot gravy. And I'd be out the front greeting the customers.
Mm.
Now, Christopher and I, he's got a tremendous gravy recipe.
Yeah.
Christopher and I have even come up with a name for the bakery.
Oh, no.
The Pie Minister. Isn't that a terrific name?
I love it. Like it.
Christopher was very excited about that. He burst into my office all flushed.
What about you could open one of those coffee bean shops? You could be Has Been or something like that.
or Flick the Bean.
Yeah.
You've just got so many options up your sleeve for life.
You've got
after
so many options when it comes to talking about beans.
Throw your superannuation on top of that and you'll be laughing.
I tell you what, why don't I open a chain of coffee stores and the Prime Minister and Flick the Bean, Mal's and Christopher's Coffee and Pies.
There's a no-brainer. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, what do you got planned for the rest of the week, Big Mal?
Well, I'll be striving to find a resolution to the implacable situation we find ourselves in. It'll give me a chance to say resolution, and I'll also be saying other 3 to 4 syllable words like parliament, Point Piper, reprehensible, articulate, reassure, ensure. I might even throw in indefatigable and indomitable.
Oh, nice.
But with the Ashes just around the corner, I'm most looking forward to saying Usman Khawaja.
Are you going to come over for the Adelaide test, Big Mal?
Of course I will.
I'd love to look
after
you.
It's a fun affair. December the 2nd, I'm booked in at the Adelaide Oval in my finery to stand out the back under the sails and get arse-faced like the rest of the cricket followers.
You'd be able to bowl all right with a pink ball, wouldn't you?
Of course I would. I'm a much better bowler than John Winston Howard.
Yeah.
I'm a medium pace.
Right.
I've got a nice wrong'un.
Mm.
Now, before I go, I just want to say, because it is spring racing carnival season, this is what I'm singing today.
Oh, I look forward to this.
It's a classic by Darryl Braithwaite. That's the way it's going to be, little darling. We'll be riding on the horses, yeah. Way up in the sky, little darling.
Beautiful.
And if you fall, I'll pick you up, I'll pick you up, I'll pick you up.
It's dramatic, yeah. It's a good version. Yeah. That's
he
a good
loves that
version.
Bit when I open the shirt and go the full Braithwaite.
What did Lucy back yesterday, big man, before you go?
Well, she backed rekindling.
Oh, of course. Oh,
she's always busy rekindling. That's what women do. And before I go, I'd just like to say the Triple M rocks Morfordville. We're all right up there.
Thanks, big Mel.
Good on you, folks.
See
bye
you,
now.
Have a lovely day.
Ruined Dits are looking for South Australia's worst snorer.
Oh, yeah, we really feel for some of the ladies out there, Roo. We've had some good entries come in over the last
Pouring in, Dits. Yeah. I think we're into double figures. Mm. And this come on the back of Tex recording you at the AFL Grand Final. We've had a couple of great entrants, and here is one more. The first one, Mel, is from Renee. Sounds like he's in a cave.
He does, doesn't he? Renee, you have to listen to that every night. Yeah. Oh, gee. Right, who can we go to now? Right, we've got Tanya. This is Troy, who's known as Harry. So this is what Tanya has to listen to every night.
Okay.
Jesus. Hell.
Oh, there's a bit of a vibration there, isn't it?
He's actually sucking the sheets in, and then they blow out again. She said also, that's Jesus. A good night. If he has a couple of cigarettes and a VB, she said it's worse.
Oh, VB.
It's
amplified, yeah. VB.
So there you go. We feel for those poor ladies. Renee.
Keep sending them in to snoring@triplem.com.au.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's
snoring@triplem.com.au. Have some more gold later
on. And by the way, for the lady that we really, really feel sorry for at the end of this, we're going to send them off to the Stanford, down at Glenelg, the Stanford Grand, the perfect getaway. Also, to the Endota Spa down there at Glenelg as well for a body scrub and a massage and a facial. And a
couple hours of pampering.
Down at Glenelg, all right?
Beautiful.
So a good prize for the lady that has to endure the worst snoring in Adelaide. Ruined, it's here on Triple M.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point!
Ruined Dits, $1,000 pressure test.
Oh, the pressure test, chance to win $1,000 cash like someone did yesterday.
Angelo, the bricklayer.
Angelo, let's go to the city this morning. G'day, Brett.
G'day, guys. How are we going?
What are you up to today, Brett?
Not a lot. Day off, so just a bit of a lazy day of recovering from yesterday's Melbourne Cup.
How did you get a day off today? How come?
Just lucky, I guess.
No, yeah. Good stuff. Now, do you live right in the city, do you?
On the outskirts.
What's city living like? Is it a good thing?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Apartment?
Transport's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In an apartment?
Cool apartment, yep.
Oh, yeah. Newish one?
Fairly old, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Righto. Yeah. So, Brett, let's see if we can win you some money and you can get a nice new apartment, all right?
No worries.
Update.
Right.
Now, cycling's in the news today, Roo.
It is in the news.
In fact, we're going to talk to Cycling SA a little bit later on because the numbers are decreasing.
They are.
So, Brett, because this is topical, give us 10 things you'd find on a bicycle.
Pedals, wheels, seat, bell, the bar, the knacker bar.
Knacker bar.
You had a big
gears,
day yesterday.
Gears.
Gears. Tubes, tie tubes, pump.
Ooh, you've had a big day yesterday.
Not bad.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Correct.
What time did you get home last night, Brett?
Wasn't too bad, 10:30, but it was a big day.
Yeah, race was at 2:30.
Can you find the exit?
Too far out. Bloody hell.
Righto. Brett, we're going to send you off to see the Virgin Australian International Rules Series coming up this Sunday, all right, at the Adelaide Oval.
Well done on getting the knacker
Beautiful
bar,
boy.
Though.
Yeah, the
knacker
bar.
Well done on getting the knacker bar, Brett. That's a very important part of the bike.
That's the memory from childhood.
What's the proper name? Is it the crossbar? or not?
Well, I don't even know. Well, you're talking at the main bar.
Yeah, the one up there. Now, here's a technical question for you, Roo. Right. So when you donkeyed your mates illegally back when you were a kid, did they sit on that bar or did they sit on top of your handlebars?
Handlebars, because then you could just shove the brakes on and see
if it was if it was a girl, I got them to sit on the crossbar.
On the knacker bar?
Yeah, because then you had to have your arms around them and hold the handlebars in.
Oh, right.
And
just to make her feel comfortable.
Yeah. So she felt protected.
Oh, that's good, Dit.
Can't have a girl sitting on the handlebars in front of you.
No.
Hey?
No. I didn't dinky too many girls, Dits, to be honest. But the knacker bar, I'll keep that in mind when I have to do Sarah next time. See how she goes with that.
What do you mean?
Put her in the middle.
Right.
Yeah, put the arms around her, like you were just telling us.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centered around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Roo and Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Now, Roo, looking out across Adelaide this morning, 25 degrees. I can see the beach from here. It's beautiful. And you know, for about 10 years, I used to get out of bed most mornings and go for a massive bike ride.
Yep.
And I loved it. I was obsessed with it. I got really into it. You know, I was hooked. And then I got hit 3 times, and that kind of, that soured the experience for me.
It does sour the experience, because it hurts.
Turned me off a bit. And I know you've had the odd accident too.
Yeah.
But the reason we're talking about this is we're reading this morning that the numbers of cyclists is really on the decline. Remember, well, as I say, 10 years ago, probably the boom started about 15 years ago, and they called it the new golf, didn't they? A lot of corporate people were getting out as groups and as teams, and you see cyclists everywhere, don't you?
Yeah, they're saying it's dropped 20% in the last 6 years because we haven't got great facilities for riding bikes in South Australia. It's improved from when we started, but we know, I often say, every person that you know who rides a bike, you can guarantee they've had an accident.
Yeah.
You cannot ride a bike for a long time around Adelaide and get away without having a spill.
Mm.
And, you know, it can be your fault, like it was for me, riding straight into a steel post, or you can have an accident by someone riding into you or driving into you. It just happens.
Yep.
And it's not that safe.
No, no.
Unfortunately.
And you know what? And I'll say it again, I love the sport.
I do too.
It's so healthy for you. You get out and I used to find I'd go for a big bike ride and get in the shower afterwards and think nothing hurts. Like, you know, you're not pounding the pavement when like running or anything like that.
That's the great thing about it. You're not flogging your body doing it, so you can do it when you're older, and you cover more ground, so you get to see a lot of the great countryside as well.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of things to tick about it, but if we're going to be genuine about making Adelaide a bicycle-friendly city, we have to spend a lot more money.
All right. The Chief Executive of Bicycle SA is Christian Haag, and he joins us. Christian, good morning. Is Adelaide a good city for cycling, do you think?
Look, I think we're blessed with our great Mediterranean climate. We've got a flat topography. It's kind of a no-brainer that we should absolutely be the centre of cycling for Australia. And you guys are absolutely right. You know, we've seen this this decline somewhat in the number of people riding. And it really is a call to action for both local governments and state governments to really get serious and invest the level of funding that we need to provide good, safe cycling infrastructure.
Well, you'd get a ton more people riding into work, into the city, if it was safer. I would ride more often, absolutely no doubt. My wife doesn't want me to ride anymore because she knows it's only a matter of time before you have another accident. And it would just be brilliant to go into the CBD and around the CBD with roads that were more tailored towards bikes.
So, Christian, is that the main feedback that you're hearing? The people that say they're not riding anymore, is it purely the safety aspect?
Yeah, look, our member surveys are really consistent, and there's three key aspects. One is concern about driver inattention, to a lesser degree, aggressive driving behaviours. But first and foremost is a lack of safe infrastructure, and they just feel unsafe on the road, and it's not a pleasant riding experience. But, you know, having said that, what we are seeing, which is a glimmer of hope, is that in those communities that do invest, and you mentioned the city, the Adelaide City Council and State Government have invested about $12 million looking at these separated bikeways. there's about 10,000 people riding in and out of the city each day. That's 10,000 less cars.
Mm.
The Mike Turta Bikeway, for example, we've got about 1,000 people spilling out of that every morning. And again, that's 1,000 less cars from that sort of south-west part of the city. So when you build it, they will use it. And I think that's the message is for, you know, essentially a healthier and sort of happier community. We know that it's a really solid financial investment for cities because of the returns that cities get when more people are more active in riding.
But what about the, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the street, was it Frome Road, Street that put in the land? Yeah. And then they got bagged for doing it. There was so much negativity, Christian, wasn't there?
Absolutely right. For some reason, cycling is a lightning rod for politicians. There are those that despise the idea of investing in good cycling infrastructure and those that absolutely support it. It essentially split down conservative and progressive lines. And we just don't see this in Australia alone. It's in Europe and in America. I guess, you know, we just simply make the argument based on the evidence. And I think what we see is that for the average 20-minute commute in and out of the city, that bicycle ride is actually contributing $21 to the national economy. Predominantly in healthcare savings, but also in reduced emissions congestion.
So
it makes good sense.
Yeah, sorry, but Christian, the other great thing would be to make it as safe as possible for kids to ride to school as well. I mean, when we were all a lot younger, I certainly used to ride to school, and in the city, as a parent, all you're worried about is basically your kid getting hurt, but you'd love to let them ride all the time. So. Yeah. Whatever we can do to improve safety for kids getting to school and drivers being aware of kids getting to school and setting their minds early into riding and fitness and stuff like that could only be a good thing as well.
Yep, for sure. Christian, thanks so much for joining us.
Good day, thanks.
Okay, Christian Haag is the Chief Executive of Bicycle SA. So what would you like to see, Rudy? You want us to become a full-on bicycle city?
I would like to see money really well spent. I think it would be fantastic if people could get on their bike and confidently ride around the suburbs. You can't do it everywhere because it's impossible with road widths and, you know, big heavy vehicles and stuff like that. So it'd have to, you'd have to be smart about how you spent the money, where you spent the money, the amount of roads that you had. And created, but the more safe it could be, the better it would be. And like Christian said, we've got a flat city, a pretty flat city. We've got a great climate. The more bikes you got on the road, it's got to be good for everyone.
Rue, when I was serious about cycling, though, the negativity was just incredible. Yeah, now I will.
We've got to get over that, though.
I know we do, and I know there are a lot of bad cyclists out there. They hog the road, and they're terrible. So they've got to play their role as well.
One did it to me the other day. They were riding. You know, you got your bloody bike lane there that we put there, and then there's a bike riding two abreast outside the line. I feel like hitting him just to teach him a lesson. No, I did. It annoyed the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And I'm a bike rider. So people who do that need to pull their heads in too.
Well, I told you once before, I think people used to actually drive on the wrong side of the road to get me.
That was the port sticker.
They swerved as much as they could. But I think I would love to be able to ride around free here and feel safe. And I used to sort of think to myself, the people that would toot us and yell at us and abuse us, I used to think, but we're out here actually trying to get fit and be healthy. Like, why would you bag us? You know, and so that was frustrating
for
me.
Unless you're breaking the rules.
Yeah. And that's, as I said, I know the cyclists have got to play their part too. No doubt about that. But I think we should be encouraging it.
Yeah, well, let's take some calls from cyclists, from
motorists
out there. What are your thoughts on the current situation with our bike paths? Do they need to be better? Are they adequate?
133353, give us a call.
Triple M.
Oh, we're talking about cycling around the city and in our suburbs. Is it safe? Do we need more money spent? Do we need to do it smarter? Let's go to Hillbank. What do you think, John?
G'day, gentlemen. How are we?
Very well. Thanks.
I kind of blame the state government because they don't enforce any rules or policies on developers. They make the roads in new developments too narrow. All the existing roads are too narrow. You can't park a car and expect a cyclist to get past. You can hardly get a car or a truck past as it is.
Yeah.
They should. You go to Melbourne and the domestic streets, the suburb, the back streets are all almost twice as wide as what we've got.
Really? You're saying that the Melbourne developments are better than the South Australian developments, or is this just a guess?
I've driven in a lot of back roads in Melbourne, and they're a lot bigger than the back roads in Adelaide.
Really?
Hmm. Yep.
All right. So interesting point of view, John.
Let's go to Tony. G'day, Tony.
Hey, boys. How are you?
What do you think about cycling in South Australia?
Well, I've lived in a few states and cycled in all of them. And I think the big problem over here is we haven't got 100% dedicated cycling lanes all the time.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
I'll give you an example. You come down Anzac Highway, and from 7 till 9 in the morning, it's a cycling lane, and from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, it's a cycling lane. Mm. Outside of that, cars can park in there. So the problem with motorists, in that period of time, to be safe as a cyclist, you've got to come out onto the road. And then, you know, then you can legally ride two abreast. Then you get people throwing Coke cans at you and calling you a dickhead to get off the road into the cycling lane.
Yep.
And in actual fact, it's not a cycling lane during outside of those hours.
And so, what about when you have to pull out to go around the car? You just go, oh, I hope I don't get hit up the backside here. You're just dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, they think that when you're on a bike, you're doing 5 kilometres an hour. But if you're on a road bike and you're doing 35 kilometres an hour, you can't just stop because they want to get past you and squeeze you into a curb. So, And when you've been hit, I agree with you. It's like I got T-boned at an intersection where a lady came through a stop sign and went up over the bloody roof. But, you know, it is dangerous, but I love it. It's a passion.
Yep.
And because I can't run anymore because of a crook back, you know, it's a low-impact sport. I can get out and do a couple hundred Ks a week, and it's, you know, you get smelling the fresh air.
Yep.
But I think as a state government, we just need to spend heaps more money on cycling if they want. What Christian said earlier, more people in the city, more people riding to work, you know, saving the state. They don't look at it the long term. They just, you know, Band-Aids to fix things all the time, which is what they did in Frome Road. So I think a lot more money needs to be spent to really make it the best state in Australia for cycling.
Good on you, Tony.
Yep,
great.
Well done, Tony. Well said. Yep. Let's go to Seaford Meadows. Good morning, Nicole.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Nicole. What do you think?
Well, you would not get me on a bike in Adelaide at all. After living in London for 10 years, I was a cyclist there. I used to ride to work every day through central London, Hyde Park Corner, and you can imagine the amount of traffic.
Yeah.
Double the amount of here. I think it's also about educating the drivers as well, and the cyclists become more visible for the drivers. I think the drivers here lack a bit of respect for the cyclists.
Yep.
I drive to work now every day, and I see a cyclist, and I think, oh, I'm so jealous. Like, I wish I could be out there. Rather than having to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym, I used to have my exercise riding to work.
Excellent.
So, Nicole, you found the roads in London safe, did you? Because they're not really wide roads, are they?
100%. It was like this sort of camaraderie. You'd get to the intersection of, like, Hyde Park Corner, and you'd turn, and there'd be 10 of you there. And you'd all sort of nod at each other.
Mm.
And it was the way of life. I used to cycle to work any weather. Rain, hail, snow, everything.
Yeah.
Here, I've got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I almost feel unhealthier living back in Adelaide, which is where I've come back to raise my family.
Yep.
I feel like I was living a healthier lifestyle in central London. Wow.
That's sad, isn't it? Yeah, all right. Thanks for calling in, Nicole.
Yeah, let's go to Kerry Gully. G'day, Rob.
Yeah, hey, guys. The way cyclists use the hills roads, really bizarre. There's such a conflict in the laws. If you're driving slowly in a car, like 20 k's below, approximately, I think the law says, below the speed limit, you're supposed to get off the road where possible to let people pass. Yet guys will ride up there two abreast up Green Hill Road at 15 kilometres an hour in an 80 k zone and then wonder why they're nearly getting cleaned up.
Yep.
And it's one thing to have the right of way, but for some reason, so many cyclists forget they've also got the right to get in the back of an ambulance. They put themselves in unnecessarily risky situations.
Yep.
It's leisure. They're playing on the road.
Yeah. Don't disagree with that, Rob. I don't disagree at all. Finally, Anthony at Panorama. Hello, Anthony.
Yeah, how you going, fellas?
Good, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm kind of a bit over the fact that there's no identification of a cyclist. They can do what they want and flaunt the law, do whatever they want, and there's no repercussion. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, this has been spoken about a lot. Yeah,
I think until there's some sort of registration plate on their bike, so if you see some clown, you can actually dob him in. They can run a red light. What's going to happen? They take a photo of a cyclist.
And they do, too. They do it all the time.
They do it all the time. It frustrates the absolute crap out of me. And I think they're not going to get mutual respect until there's some sort of an identification system.
Good call.
Great call, Anthony. Yep. And in fact, I think they should make people pay and register to have bikes on the road like car owners do. If we want the road rules and all that, why don't they make them register it, pay the money, make a heap of money out of it, and tip it into making the roads
bike
better.
Lanes.
Put 100% of the money they get from bike registrations in to back into the bike, improving bike facilities.
Yep. Good call. I like that idea.
Well, cars and trucks have to pay. Why don't bikes?
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Very good morning to our new recruit at Triple M Melbourne, Will Anderson.
Good morning, boys. It's really nice to be here on the morning after the Melbourne Cup, the morning after the four-day long weekend that they give us in Melbourne because of the horse race.
Oh, it's very tiring, horse racing.
Here's what I want to say to you guys in Adelaide. This is a bit of a tip I've learned about Melbourne is they spread out their public holidays. You know, you have the one before the grand final, then they wait a few weeks, then you have the four-day weekend for the Melbourne Cup. You guys, you do all your things in February at exactly the same time. You've got to spread them out over the year.
Tell us about it. We've been trying to tell these gonzos over here for years not to do everything in March.
Right. You've got to at least give you a week off. Everyone should have you should get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at least off in a row so everybody can enjoy it.
Who organises everything in Melbourne? Is it Eddie? Does he get
Eddie.
All the,
actually, Eddie does it, yeah.
He just spreads them out when he needs a four-day rest every now and then.
Yeah, it's pretty much they coordinate the calendar each year with Eddie's schedule. In fact, the entire calendar of Melbourne goes through Eddie's PA first, then goes to everybody else.
I'm surprised, actually, now that you say that, they actually can fit in the grand final and the Melbourne Cup with Eddie.
Look, that's the thing. He clears up that point of the year. Obviously, he's got to tape some hot seat at the same time, so he tries to coordinate it.
That's right. Hey, now, Gruen, on the ABC tonight, Australia's favourite show, what is happening? I want to ask you about this pitch, because I've got a son at uni still. The pitch to persuade our leaders that uni should be free.
Yeah, it should be absolutely free. And I think both of them make a really compelling case. But particularly with the first one, that you just see this ad where you suddenly just see them Googling a few things. Like, how do you, how do you put stitches in a cut? How do you do an operation? Surgery for dummies. And then you realize they're in an operating theater. And you're like, oh, yeah, university does make a difference. It's probably a good idea if we keep it free. But obviously, for the sake of our nation, not to burden our children with 15 years of debt when they're starting out their careers. Yeah. It's a pretty cool idea. And they're both really good ads.
What's happening with Amazon, Google, and Apple?
Well, they're going to be in our houses now. Have you heard of this Amazon Key? Basically, it's this way that you can remotely unlock your house so you can let parcel delivery people into your house to drop off the parcel.
Just check the fridge while you're there, use the toilet, do what you like.
Come into the house. If you could drop off my parcel and put your balls in my butter, that'd be great, guys.
How's this key work?
Well, basically, you set it up on your house, and it's like so you can use it on your phone. So, say for example, you were going to get the cleaners around, or say for example that you needed somebody to come around and do something at the house, you wouldn't have to be home to let them in. And what they do is they set up a series of cameras that are over the door, so you can actually get a live feed of what's going on at your house at that time.
Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard about that. That's happening a bit over there for the old.
Who is that bloke visiting my wife?
Yeah, exactly right.
He's getting a lot of deliveries, isn't he?
Why has he got a smile on his face?
Yeah, she should buy him a shirt. Why doesn't he have a shirt on? That seems weird.
He had it when he went in.
Why is he leaving in a hurry? He's leaving in such a hurry. Hey, finally, tell us about these consumer boycotts. Now, we've been told not to buy Streets ice cream, for example. That's one I can think of for Christmas. What's this all about?
Well, this is the thing, right? They're trying to say streets-free summer, but I think they would have been more successful if they'd maybe gone with streets-free Saturday, because it's hard to sustain the idea of a boycott on a product like ice creams. You know, the truth is that on a hot summer's day, people are probably not going to think about the 130 workers at a factory in New South Wales when they want to have a Magnum or a Paddle Pop. So we want to talk about that idea of, you know, what's more important to us as consumers? Do we really, even if we say we care about these workers in this factory, do we really care enough that would stop us from buying a Magnum or trying the new Gaytime Sanger, which is the latest thing that they launched this week? So, by the way, just by by the way, if anyone does see the Gay Time Sanger, I don't know if you guys have seen the Gay Time Sanger. No. It's a maxi bond that they've rolled in crumbs.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a truther here on the radio, but it's not a new invention.
That's right. What it sounds like, Will. You're all over it.
And try explaining to a six-year-old that you can't have a gay time because of work conditions in the factory over there in New South Wales.
Yeah. We're not getting over overtime.
Come and sit on Daddy's lap. I'm going to explain to you unionism.
That's right. Hey, good on you, Will. We'll watch it on Gruen tonight on the ABC.
Cheers, boys.
See you, buddy.
Ruin Dits are looking for South Australia's worst snorer.
Indeed. Now, the entries are flooding in, Roo.
They are flooding in, Dits, and that is fantastic because we do want to expose the worst snorer in South Australia. And we want to reward the poor wife or partner of the bloke who is just a shocker to sleep with.
Yeah.
A little bit like yourself, Dits. You're the reason why we started this. Let's have a listen to you. Wow.
You haven't turned that up, have you?
No, listen.
You're not cheating here.
Oh, God.
Well, that means I'm in a deep sleep.
Think about what poor Kate has to put up with. And she has texted in this morning as well.
Right.
Just to say the snoring is getting worse at our place. Could hear Dits through two closed doors last night after being at the Alma all afternoon.
I did get asked to sleep at the other end of the house.
Yep. Yeah. Does Billy ever whinge or hit you or anything, the dog?
Doesn't seem to.
Okay. Well, maybe Billy's deaf. Now, we've got a couple new entrants here that we're going to go. Evan has sent in one on his bro, Jimmy.
Nah, other way around, I think.
Is it?
Jimmy. Jimmy has sent in. He says he had to travel around Europe on a family trip for 6 weeks, and he had to share a bedroom with his younger brother, Evan.
Right.
And Evan's actually got a couple of strings to his bow. He's not just a snorer. Turns out he's a moaner.
Now, he's dreaming.
I think Evan's having a bit of a dream, yes. I think something else is going on there. Yes, yes, yes. I think we better turn that off now. Commonly known as a wet dream, I think, Jimmy.
Oh, no.
Gee whiz.
No. And Jody. Jody, that's great. We'll have to listen to that again in a minute. Jody has sent one in for about Neil. Oh, that was nice.
Oh, this is getting better. Jody. Oh, Jody, how do you sleep with that? We've just crossed a rekindling sleeping after yesterday's Melbourne Cup.
Jesus.
Can we go back to Jimmy again, please? I need to hear the moan.
Oh. more. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, baby. Can we just play 3 hours of this? This is fantastic.
Can we go back to Neil again? Just have a little bit on Neil, please.
One more.
This is gold. Listen to this one. Oh, hang on, one more.
Yes, too good. He's a ripper. Say, it's a high standard. This is the sort of stuff this is what you're competing with.
You're
ladies,
you're really
going
to have to earn this title, aren't you? As SA's worst snorer, Dits.
Now, Roo, as you know, we've put up a great prize for the poor lady out there that has to put up with this. We're going to send them off to the Stanford for a night.
Brilliant.
Just to get away from the bloke.
Aquanelg on the ground.
Aquanelg down there, the perfect getaway.
Yep.
Also, whilst you're down there, you can visit the Indota Rejuvenate package, okay? This is valued at $280. Goes for a couple of hours. You get the body scrub, the warm oil cocoon.
Brilliant.
The facial and the massage. I reckon that bloke was getting a massage in his sleep.
Oh, man. God. Hey, send in your entrance to expose these snorers, please, ladies and gentlemen. Go to snoring@triplem.com.au.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, shocking news for you being the father of six beautiful little children.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that nursery rhymes are dying world over?
I've heard a thing of the past story about that. Well, they're a dying breed because people just, or parents just chuck their kids an iPad or their smartphones and do what they do on there, YouTube, bloody whatever else.
They're saying now that kids, you know, like 18 months old can grab your phone and do all sorts of things on it. They know how to use them. They can't even talk yet.
No, they certainly know how to push the button and swipe and do all those sort of things and watch movies and videos and all that. So as a result, nursery rhymes are on the outer a little bit. Mm. And Mel just hit us with a fact. We've got a well-known person who...
Yes.
They're pretty important.
A quote from Albert Einstein, who you'd listen to, I think.
I quote a lot of Albert.
Yeah, same. If you want your children to be intelligent, read them nursery rhymes. If you want them to be more intelligent, read them more nursery rhymes.
Right.
Rightio.
It's now, about rhythm and all that sort
and
of
dreaming
thing.
Dreaming and picturing.
Now, do you read nursery rhymes, Mel?
I'm like a nursery rhyme jukebox.
What's your favourite?
It's not about what's my favourite. It's about what Sinead's favourite. Yeah. But she loves Twinkle Twinkle.
Right.
Yeah.
Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All of those.
Right. Mm. And it's important for children's development, you think?
So they say. So Albert says.
Right. I always took a different approach with my two boys. I used to tell them stories. I just used to make up things.
Hmm.
So they were, for example, you know, kicking the goal after the siren at the MCG and things like that.
All right.
Yeah.
So you were dreaming.
We were a little bit, yeah. but every night it would be, tell us another story, Dad. And usually they were winning something big.
Awesome.
Yeah, major.
Cool.
Good.
Yeah,
and you got a dream like that.
And they used to love it. Yeah, punch the air. They'd go to sleep thinking, I've just won the Melbourne Cup or, you know.
Beautiful.
AFL Grand Final.
Sweet dreams.
Yeah, gee, Port Adelaide won a lot of games, I can tell you.
Oh, they would have. And at that time, they were winning a lot of games too. It's dominating.
But I thought that was more educational, really, to give them real life experiences than.
Well, they weren't real life, though.
No, they were. Things that could happen.
You were making stuff up.
No, but things that could. You got to use your imagination, Roo.
Yeah.
That's what Albert Einstein's all about.
Yeah, using your imagination is not real life.
I gave them confidence. They got up the
false
next day
confidence.
Thinking they could
false
achieve
hope.
Achieve anything. They could win.
Yep.
That's what it was all about.
Right.
Yeah.
And they got that half right. You got it half right, did. So,
now they've just been disappointed all their lives with none of these things have actually happened. <something. laughs>
We like reading nursery rhymes to the kids. I think it's a good thing. You know, and Albert agrees with me, obviously, Albert Einstein.
Roo and Albert think alike.
Exactly right. we've read, you know, the nursery rhymes. Rocco loves his nursery rhymes. We read Old MacDonald Has a Farm. He loves that one.
Yeah.
And we actually read it so much when we were on our caravan trip last year. Me and Scratch had to look after all the kids for a while. So we had 10 kids. And me and Scratch, for a few hours, because we sent the ladies off to a day spa, because we're good blokes, trying to get credits up so we could have Saturday afternoon off. And we said, if you behave yourself, kids, we'll take you to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of bribed them, and they did the right thing. So we took them to McDonald's. We just pulled up at McDonald's, and Rocco goes, this is not Old McDonald's. He thought he was going to McDonald's farm. He'd never been to McDonald's.
Where's the farm?
Before. Where's the farm? So that's how he knows more about nursery rhymes than he does about fast food.
See, that's bad parenting too. You'd never taken him to McDonald's.
That's right.
That's not on.
The hell.
Gee, poor kid.
Now he loves it.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Lam Roo, we've been talking about this morning. Terrible, terrible, tragic accident that happened in Sydney yesterday. We can head there right now. Today's show, Channel 9 Today Show reporter Chris Urquhart is there. Chris, good morning. How sad is this? 2 8-year-old boys have lost their lives. It's just terrible.
Good morning. Yeah, you can't even begin to comprehend it, can you? Especially the freak nature of it, that they're just sitting in a regular classroom. They're a long way off the road. You know, this happened at a classroom that's right near a car park inside the school. So it's not even as if a car's at speed come off the road. It's happened, you know, from a car park inside the school. The kids there, all in year three, many of them injured and had to be raced off to hospital. But unfortunately for these two little boys, both of them 8 years old, they went to school yesterday, but they didn't come home.
No.
They didn't come home.
Now, the lady involved has been charged, I think, reckless driving and these sorts of charges. Was it a case of, I don't know if she's had a chance to speak, or did she hit the accelerator by accident? Do we know what happened?
We just don't. And obviously that's the question that we all want to know, not least of which, you know, the families of the children who were involved in this. She's been charged with dangerous driving, occasioning and death. two counts of that. She got bail last night from the police station, but will have to go to court later this month. And it's a pretty big investigation, obviously anyway, but particularly in this case with two fatalities as a result. There's a lot that they have to work through. They'll forensically go over the vehicle and see whether there were any mechanical faults or anything with it. They'll also look at possible issues. You know, was there any problem with, you know, not being attentive at the time? Could she have been distracted by something in the vehicle? None of those we know as being cut and dry at the moment. But, you know, moving forward, obviously, that'll all form part of the police investigation before it gets to court.
How far was the classroom away from the road, you're saying? Was
the classroom is, I'm standing on the road at the moment, and yeah, I can see the classroom from where I'm standing about 90 metres away. So it's certainly not a case of, but it's not a runaway car off the road that's lost control. It's clearly something that's happened in the car park of the school. So whether it's a car that's been trying to be parked or something like that, as you say, slipped onto the accelerator is one possibility. But it's certainly not a case of a car that's come screaming off the road. Right. Something has happened in that car park that's led to this occurring, yeah.
So what's happening there today? Is school going ahead or have they closed the school?
The school will be open. Any kids, you know, parents want their kids to come to school today, they can be here. Obviously, you know, a lot of parents will probably make the decision to keep their kids at home. Sometimes it is better for them if they, if they're at school and with their friends and dealing with it. And the education department's organised for counsellors and all of that sort of thing for the kids. But, you know, it's pretty tricky, isn't it? How do you explain this to children, you know, when you can't even understand it yourself? I'm scratching my head with it all.
Yeah. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Very, very tough story to cover. Thanks, mate.
No worries. Hope it's happier circumstances. We're chatting next time, guys.
Yeah, definitely. So today's show on Channel 9 reporter there, Chris Urquhart. Not a good situation, Ruin. As we've said many times this morning, imagine sending your kids off to school. And the other kids obviously involved too. It's going to be a terrible, terrible few weeks for them to get their heads around what has actually happened.
Well, they reckon there was a lot of screaming. Parents rushed, parents that had nothing to do with the kids rushed to the classroom and... one of the little ones that ended up dying was yelling out, "I want my mum," just beforehand. So, that, you know, you'd have nightmares about that for a while, I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.